John was trying to teach us. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to be in the 127th and 128th Psalm as we begin a new series tonight on our Sunday night time together. So looking forward to this. Last week, if you missed last Sunday night, you just missed a very sweet, sweet service. We opened up for testimonies. I'm not about to do that again. And I'm just kidding. It was a sweet time, but it just it turned into one of those services that was a testimony service, and it was just a blessing to hear how the Lord has been working in people's hearts and lives, and it was exciting. And so let me tell you, while you're turning Psalm 127, 128, some wonderful news as well. So our church end of the year, technically not the end of the church's year, but you know, it's the end of the year. For the last 12 months, our offerings have passed. Now, this is just offerings that go into the general fund, have now passed that $500,000 mark, $514,000, I think it was. General fund offering, that's exciting. To whom much has been given, much is required, right? Amen. And then the total amount of monies that came through our coffers, I guess, if you would say, was like $624,000. I mean, it's an amazing thing what God is doing in our ministry. And so that's exciting. A lot of things happening with missions, a lot of things happening. So the investment part on that side is happening. That's great. We're excited to see what the Lord's going to do. Let's take a look. Psalm 127 and 128. We're going to read through both psalms entirely. Don't panic. That's only 11 verses, all right? Psalm 127, verse 1, a psalm of degrees, Solomon. Except the Lord build a house, you already can say this, quote it, don't look, read it, just quote it. That's it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he that giveth his beloved sleep, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Go on to verse 1 of chapter 128, or of Psalm 128, a song of degrees. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. For thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would meet with us tonight. That God, your word would unfold for us in a way that would be vibrant and alive and speak to our soul and our hearts. The Lord, your Holy Spirit would have freedom to do a work that only you can do through your word. I pray that you would just help us for a few minutes to put aside the day, the weather, the week coming up, things that might be pressing upon our hearts, and allow your spirit to speak to us, to challenge us. And Father, we'll thank and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was reminded last week of how good you are at speaking. And so I'm going to give you a chance over the next few weeks to speak. So I'm going to tell you right now what I want you to think about and pray about, because we'll give you an opportunity to help you, or to give you an opportunity to help me to teach and preach the lessons for the next several weeks together, all right? Because I'm well aware that, you know, I don't have all of the answers, but that God's Word does. There's no question about that. The Bible says that all things for life and for godliness can be found in this book. Everything we need to survive this world in life and to survive this world in a righteous manner, God gives us in His Word. So with that in mind, God also gives us everything we need for the family application. So we're starting a series on the family, a series on the home. All of us have a home. And all of us have a family. We may not all have little children. We may not all have grown children. We may not all have grandchildren. But all of us have a family. And all of us have a home. So we have some responsibility there. And so with that, I want you to be thinking about, praying about how you might share some testimony with us. And I'm going to focus first on the negative, if I can, all right? I want you to think about regrets that you've had in your life. Oh, I wish I had only done this. Or I wish I had done this. And I want you to be honest with us, all right? I'm putting you on the spot. I'm well aware. But if we're going to have iron sharpening iron through this process, if our goal is, and this is the goal, is to strengthen the home in our church, all right? That's the goal. So if our goal is to do that, then an iron sharpens iron. It does require then some transparency, all right? So I'm not apologizing for the transparency. I want you to begin to think about, pray about that. So when you come to just give advice, and which we'll allow for on Sundays, the first thing I want you to think of is to think of the advice that you would give because it didn't happen the way you wished it had happened. All right, and so think about it that way. Each week we'll kind of add something else for you to think about and pray about. But be ready next week to share some advice on that. But right now we're going to give an outline, if you can, if we can, of the family unit and how it works together here. And we see these two psalms which really deal with the family in a very unique way. It says in verse 1 of Psalm 127, "Except the Lord build the house." Now, I'm aware that we could talk about the building aspect of this. There's an actual building. But you'll see as we go on through this psalm that God is talking about the home. "And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." So if you're here this evening and you have a home, then, by the way, can I ask this question? When do you finish building your home? When you go home. I like that. That's a good way to say it. I heard some other people saying, when you die. Don't tell me. I don't want to hear your excuse. I don't want to hear the pathetic, my kids are already grown. When do you finish building your home? When you die, when you go home. You understand? So it doesn't matter where you are in this process. You're still in the building stage. "And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Has it ever, really think about this for a moment. We say this all the time, but we sometimes forget it. All right, so for instance, my kids are now adults, all right? My kids are already, they're adult people. They're taking on their own responsibilities, living their own lives, doing things that, is my job done? Can I just walk away from it? Be quiet, son. Please, Dad, walk away. No, my job is not done. I still have, as long as I'm breathing, I still have an opportunity to make an impact on the lives of those people that are in this home that God has given to me. And so whether I am at that early stage and my family is just being built up, whether I'm in the in-between stage, that middle stage, or whether I'm to the stage where my kids are now moving on with their own lives, I still have an opportunity to have an impact. There's that word, to have an impact here, but "except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." So I've got to figure out then how to incorporate the Lord in what I'm doing if I want the work that I'm doing with this generation, the next generation if you have grandkids, or the next generation after that if you have great-grandkids, then I have to figure out how to righteously incorporate the Lord. So let's just keep going here. This is that blessing. I want you to hear this. We just got finished with the holidays. So I thought this is really a good time to bring this up. You do know this, right? You know this. Your family is a blessing. That's not just your kids. It's all of your family, by the way. And it might have been a blessing when they finally left and went home. But your family is a blessing. God, when he talks about family, God does not talk about it as a burden. You understand? It's not. God puts this as a wonderful opportunity, a great event. Take a look at that. There, what it says. Let me share with you a couple of others. Let me give you this real quick. Proverbs chapter 18. "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. Well, God didn't know my wife. Huh? Wait a minute. Yes, he did. "And whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing." See, God considers family to be a blessing. Now, I am well aware that my wife, and my wife is more than well aware that her husband are human beings. So that means that we aren't perfect, And so therefore, because I bring to my home my imperfection, then sometimes it's less than a blessing. But that doesn't change God's word. Whoso findeth wife findeth a good thing. Listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. The glory. Well, God didn't know my dad. Yes, he did know your dad. And the glory of children are their fathers. And yes, your children and your children's children are that crown for us. And so when God talks about the family, this is the terminology God uses. God elevates the family because in God's economy, the family is the highest expression of his love on this planet. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. God puts this as a picture of his love for us. In this life, our family unit is the highest expression of God's love on this earth, apart from Christ himself. And so God elevates this family unit and then says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. This has nothing to do with my message, so I'm going to throw it in there. Look at verse 2. We're still in 127. Take a look at verse 2. God, in the middle of talking about the home, points out how silly it is, mom, dad, for us to spend time in fretting and worrying and stewing. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You know, it's not always easy, right? I'm not a worrywart. I don't know if that's something that, but I'm not. I'm really not a worrywart, except when it comes to my kids. All right? Now, I am not a worrywart. I'm really not. But tomorrow morning, if the weatherman is right, and if I know the principal of our Christian school where I teach and where Mia teaches, he's from Canada. He doesn't close the school down for anything. He thinks that we're just a bunch of wimps here in America and we should be able to drive on ice. And he probably won't cancel school. And I'm going to tell you that I will struggle with this verse tomorrow morning when my daughter gets in the car to drive to work. And so it'll sound something like this. Text us when you get there. Text us when you're getting ready to leave. Text us when you get home. I mean, it's that kind of thing. You know, it's like, just let us know, right? Because if you don't, here's what's going to happen. We're going to begin even worse to fret and stew. And God says to us, God says to this pastor and to everybody else, that's silly, right? It is. It's silly. God says, I give great, wonderful, glorious sleep to my people. That's what God does. So it's just kind of an in-between there as God's talking about the home. But go on now, if you would. Let's take a look at this. Here's the point. First of all, the family is a blessing. Secondly, the family is an opportunity. Remember this morning as we're talking about having an impact, investing our time, our talent, our treasure, our compassion. We're looking for ways to have an impact. The greatest opportunity facing all of us is around us all of the time. It's our home. It's the easiest and yet the hardest place for us sometimes to have. Actually, it's not hard. You're always going to have a lasting impact, always. The only question is whether that impact is going to be for good or for evil, right? We're like the children of Israel when God points to the mountains and says, you've got two mountains, choose one, the mountain of blessing or the mountain of curse. Take your choice. And, you know, now I'm aware that when we're dealing with kids, that our kids have a free will. And so we can do everything right and still they rebel. That's just the nature of being human. I can prove that over and over again in the scripture, but it starts with the very first two parents, right? Who seem to have raised two sons the same way, and one son was righteous and the other killed him, right? I mean, this is raised by the same parents in the same home, different response. We can't guarantee our response, but you can guarantee that if you choose to act out wickedly in front of your children, that is going to have an impact on them, right? That's a guarantee. And if you choose to act out righteously in front of your children, that is going to have an impact on them. So it's easy, but it's hard. There's always going to be an impact no matter what we do. Well, let's take a look at this opportunity God's given us. Look at verse 4 of 127. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Well, help me here. What are as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man? What does an arrow do in the hand of a mighty man? It expands his impact, right? If I am fighting the enemy, I have to wait until the enemy is, and I don't have an arrow, I have to wait until the enemy is nose to nose, face to face, and then we battle it out. But with an arrow, I can deal with the enemy from a distance. All of a sudden, my abilities to be involved in this combat have magnified greatly. And the Bible says then, as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are our children. Our children give us the opportunity to impact the world in ways that we simply cannot do on our own, right? If our children grow up to serve Christ, will it make a difference in this world? Yes. And so all of a sudden, this impact that you had in your life here, and you have three kids who go off to live for the Lord, your impact is now tripled. Amen? You see how this works? As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are our children to us. Family is a great blessing, but family is a great opportunity for you and I to impact our world in very unique ways. Take a look, if you would, please. It's 128 and verse 3. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Well, by the way, I kind of skipped over that. If you go back up to verse 1, it is if we fear the Lord, walk in his ways. You understand? If we labor with our hands and are happy, then look what happens. This is a wonderful thing. We have the opportunity to cause our wife to blossom and to grow into everything that God wants her to be. Guys, gentlemen, since our wives don't have wives, it's talking to us. Do you understand how this works? I have an opportunity. Now, by my life, by the choices that I make, I can cause my wife to blossom in the Lord. What is also within my power? I can cause her to wither on the vine, to dry up. This is all right here. This is the opportunity God has given. I can expand the ability that I have to impact the world for the cause of Christ by doing right with my home. I can watch as God works in the life of my wife. I can watch her grow and bloom and blossom into what God would have her to be if I choose to invest in my family in the right way. Take a look, if you would, please. Psalm 128, at the end of that verse, verse 3, thy children, like olive plants, around about thy table. Your wife is going to be as a fruit, a vine that bears fruit, and your children are going to be like olive plants. Now, hear me. Hear what God says. Where are my children going to be? Around the table. This is important. Because it's every one of us who at least love the Lord somewhat. You know what our desire is? Our desire is to have relationship with our children well into years. Amen? Have you ever met a parent who just can't wait for their kids to get out of the house? And I have. I've met several of them. And it breaks your heart. You think, they're missing out on the joy that God intends for family to be. I mean, I'm just telling you honestly, I'm thrilled to watch my kids growing up and blossoming and taking on relationships, but I want my kids to be around my table. I just do. I want, and if it only happens once a year because God's using them someplace else, I'll live with that as long as God's using them someplace else. But I never want there to be a time in which my kids don't desire to be around the table. But it's more than that. Because as they're around the table, what are they? What are they doing? They're growing and blossoming. They're plants that are growing up. This is the opportunity God has given us, dads, grandpas. This is the opportunity God has given us, husbands, to step into our wife's life, to step into the life of our children, our nieces or nephews, if you read the New Testament, even our nieces and nephews become our responsibility, not the church's. This is our opportunity to step into the lives of our family. Family is a blessing. Family is an opportunity. And we're going to look at ways to make this all happen as we go through this study. And then lastly, for tonight, family is a responsibility. Let's stay in the same passage of Scripture. Look at what it says. First of all, in verse 1 of Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house. So help me here. Talk to me. How do I involve the Lord in my family? Ah, thank you, Brother Don. First and foremost, I spend time with the Lord, right? I spend time on my knees. I spend time with God's Word. I spend time studying and learning and growing. I would ask you this question, Mom, Dad, husband, wife. What's the last significant step of spiritual growth you can remember taking in your life? Think this through for a moment. What's the last significant step of spiritual growth that you can remember saying, at this point, I chose to do this. I took a step in the Lord, because the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. What's the last? And I'm just going to be honest with you. If we can't remember, if we're sitting there thinking, then there's a problem. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, the Christian life. What? Are you honestly going to look at me and tell me that you've grown as much as you need to and you're done? Is that what you, do we really want to have this discussion? I don't think so. You know, the real truth is every one of us ought to be growing in the Lord. And how can I ask the Lord to involve himself in my home, in the building of my home, if I'm not even allowing the Lord to involve himself in the building of me? So it starts with my relationship to the Lord. What's another way that we can ask the Lord to be a part of the building of this home of ours? Fill our minds with what God says, because the Bible says things like this. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It says things like this. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against God. And so as I fill my mind with God's truth, then the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You keep on going, right? More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. So if I would fill my mind with the things of the Lord, then I'm inviting the Lord to help me in the building of this house. Because except the Lord build the house, all of my labor becomes vain. What else could I do to invite the Lord into this building process of my home? Say it again? Okay, so set my priorities up the right way. I can start going to church regularly. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. It's a Sunday night. But still, you know, you get the idea. Keep filling in the blank. As we bring the Lord into the picture, except the Lord build the house. So that's the first area of responsibility we have, is to figure out, gentlemen, especially, figure out how we're going to involve the Lord in this process. Let's keep on going, and let's see what our responsibilities are. Go down to verse 1 of 128, which we've talked about a little bit. Blessed is every man that, what does it mean to fear the Lord? To show reverence to the Lord. Respect and reverence. If I am showing respect and reverence to the Lord, then when the Lord speaks, I listen. I listen. E.F. Hutton speaks. Remember the old commercial, right? Everybody would get quiet because E.F. Hutton was going to speak. The Lord speaks to us, and we're hardly ever quiet. Strangely enough, it's really difficult to know the Lord without quiet, because here's what the Bible says. Be still and know that I am God. So to quiet our soul and let the Lord have a chance to speak, to show reverence and to show that. What else does it mean to fear the Lord? To hate evil. So the Bible says. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Okay. I want you to get to one other step here. There is wisdom. There's no question. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There you go, Brother Bill. That's exactly, that's what I was trying to get people to come to. It's like, you know, there is legitimately a fear of the Lord. It's like, I need to recognize that I have this awesome responsibility before God for my family. And that is that if I have no fear of what, of this awesome responsibility God has given me, if I am so lighthearted about this that I somehow think I can accomplish this without him, then I'm no longer showing respect or reverence of any kind, and I'm missing out on this. Here's what the Bible says: fear the Lord, walk in his ways. That's what it really means to fear the Lord. It means to walk in his ways, to obey him, to labor and be happy, to let things be well with you. This is the responsibility that we have. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength. Listen to what it says. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them to who? Who? Your children, your family. See, there's a responsibility. Not only is family a great blessing, and is family a great opportunity, but family is a great responsibility. And what I want to do over the next few weeks is discuss this these concepts and how God's Word points these things out to us so that our families might be strengthened, so that our opportunity to impact in a greater fashion might be broadened, so that we might see the responsibility God's given us and that we might fear him enough to accept the responsibility and to shoulder that responsibility, because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Wouldn't it be awful to get to the end of our lives, dads, to have nothing but regret? I know there's regret for all of us. I'm aware of that. All of us wish we had done something differently. If you haven't gotten to that point in your life, then ask your wife. She'll fill in the blank for you, all right? We're all there. The question is not whether or not we've ever had regret. The question is, are we going to do something about it, or are we just going to accept the regret? We're not done building, guys. We're not. We're still breathing. We still have opportunity to impact our homes, to do something in the strength of God, to see our homes be built by God, for God, so that our impact goes beyond where we are today. What an opportunity God has given to us, and what an awesome responsibility. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please.